Recording. Great, thank you. We are back in open session and we are on section number two, the initial investigative review and action on the following cases. We are now going to go to number two, 23147 in regards to Alex Casuccio, DVM. Please note that Dr. James is recused on this case. And Tracy, if you want to read the front load.
Yes. Case 23147, the complainant is Jennifer Che. The respondent is Alex Casuccio, DVM. On May 23rd, 2021, Sammy, a 13-year-old male Yorkshire Terrier, was presented to respondent due to an open wound below the right eye. A tooth-root abscess was suspected. A dental procedure was performed, a radiograph was taken of the affected tooth, and the tooth was extracted. On May 31st, 2021, the dog was rechecked. The dog's face had healed and vaccines were administered. On June 7th, 2021, the dog presented to respondent due to a lesion below the right eye recurring. After exam, respondent thought the dog could be losing sight in the right eye. His assessment was unresolved bacterial infection, retained tooth root tip, or neoplasia. Antibiotics were dismissed. If the issue did not resolve, repeat radiographs would be recommended. On June 17th, 2021, the dog's condition declined and was presented to an emergency facility in lateral recumbency. Intracranial disease was suspected and diagnostics were offered along with humane euthanasia. Complainant declined testing and elected to humanely euthanize the dog. On June 18th, 2021, respondent called complainant, offered his condolences, and discussed complainant's concerns. She felt respondent misdiagnosed the dog. Respondent did not agree with complainant's assessment. He offered a refund as a gesture of goodwill, but she would not be welcomed back to the premises. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the respondent present, but we do have the complainant here, Jennifer Che, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you for being here. Yeah, can you state your name for the record, and then I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay, so I'm Jennifer Che.
Oh, perfect.
So thank you for allowing me this 5 minute presentation. So I just wanted to address this because, and I think it's really a concern. I have family in the medical profession, so I just thought, I just feel, first of all, and I'll make this really brief, I think it's a concern that Casuccio not only wrongfully and carelessly diagnosed my dog, but also there was a lot of unprofessional conduct after the fact, and he's a licensed medical professional. First, he allowed his receptionist to diagnose my dog as having a dental abscess by an online picture. He had already cleaned my dog's teeth only 4 months prior to that and stated his swollen eye was a pink eye. So I feel like an educated veterinarian would have ruled out an abscess because I told him multiple times it's not an abscess. He's had this swollen eye for a long time. But he was very quick to diagnose and he forced me for all these upsell tackets, teeth cleaning, blood work and everything else, and he wanted all my dog's vaccinations taken. So I just felt, and I reiterated again, my concern is that he gets diagnosed correctly because he continually had a swollen eye. But he overlooked that. So when I was forced for all the teeth cleaning and everything else, I went ahead and gave in. The x-ray didn't, and he just took one, didn't show an abscess. I took that x-ray to another vet and he said, do you take more x-rays? I don't show an x-ray on that dental abscess. So so I just knew when I had took my dog in and he was having a seizure and he was throwing up and I thought that's not a dental abscess, he's got a tumor, you know, and then he wouldn't eat, the vomiting, the circling around. So that was a tumor, and when I took him to Animal Surgical and Medical Center, it was a 24-hour facility. I knew he was dying, and I wanted to do the humane thing, but other than that, I just didn't know he was dying until all the symptoms. So Dr. Tupper, really good person, that's a great facility. They said, Jennifer, and I talked to him after the fact. He said, your dog was dying. I'm glad you brought him in because he wasn't going to make it through the night. I already knew that. So what was shocking after that, this is my real concern, is that Casuccio obtained my dog's medical records on August 11th. My dog passed away June 17th. So he was post-mortem. I didn't know that he did that until after the fact. So I spoke to the receptionist of our Animal Surgical Medical Center. And she said that he basically said that he's treating my dog, he needs the records. But I said, he got euthanized 2 months ago. He's dead. So I had never provided information where my late dog was euthanized. Also told Casuccio in July, if he can just stop, if there could be please no more communication. He ridiculed me and he's very arrogant. He said, well, where is the emergency clinic that you took him to? I don't believe this so-called emergency clinic. And I thought all this was really inappropriate behavior. So he also stated that the emergency vet diagnosed him as having adrenal disease, which I thought was highly inappropriate because he's a colleague. But that was not the case. It was not an adrenal disease. He had a tumor. My dog had a tumor and had to be euthanized. So on social media, he did defame me. And he did state that he was on the board. He also boasted numerous times that he believes no one is experienced as incompetent as he. I did know that he was on that board. I didn't know it was an investigative committee, but he told me, as a matter of fact, and I snipped his comment, he said he won't be touched. There will be no way that he'll be touched because he was on the board. I think, especially with the medical records, these are all violations under the American Veterinary Medical Association for unprofessional conduct. The information within veterinary medical records is confidential. It must not be released except required or allowed by law or consent by the owner of the patient. I never consented him to have records to be published online, nor did I consent him to go request them for a dead pet and have them released to false pretenses by American Medical Surgical Center. The vet shall uphold the standards of professionalism, should also respect the privacy rights of clients and safeguard medical information. And also Dr. Skaggs, he's one of the owners for American Medical Association. I did address this to him, and he would for no way allow for him to post my records or have any of my dog's medical records. So going back to the fact he said that since he was part of the board, he won't be touched. So going back on October 5th, I asked Tracy. I like Tracy. She's been really, I've been having good communication with her. I asked her, because I want on record, I just want, is how long did he serve? And she said since 2017. And then 2 weeks after that, October 23rd, she said no, since 2012. But I already knew that he served since 2012. So that's 12 times a year for 5 years. And she signs on the bottom right with the report. So I just don't know if that's the case. If it's political, he won't be touched. With SoPro, with my experience. So, and I just felt like I had to come here and share my experience, especially with medical records. So, that's it.
Well, thank you. And again, we're so sorry for the loss of Sammy. So,
thank you.
You can go ahead and step out.
Okay.
And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Okay. Thank you. I think the important point here is that the cause for Sammy's rapid decline was never determined. When he went to the ER in severe decline, and the ER vet made some comments about, he thought it looked like intracranial disease, and prognosis was very poor. and stated some possibilities, but a differential is not a diagnosis. There was no CT done. There was some discussion of it having been done, but it was not done. There was no necropsy. And there are numerous other possibilities besides a tumor. There was some suggestion that this, by other doctors, that this patient could have maybe also been suffering from severe Cushing's disease. That can cause abnormal mentation and blindness. Severe Cushing's disease can. It was suspected by a subsequent veterinarian who saw the patient, Dr. Sussnauer. So I don't think we can say that there was a misdiagnosis, because we don't have a diagnosis. Other possibilities: infection, resistant organisms, actinomycetes, nocardia, fungal, severe Cushing's. We had no necropsy and no diagnostics done, so we don't know what caused Sammy's rapid decline. As to the issue of the dental radiographs, it was clear to me that that was a tooth root abscess of the carnasal tooth under that eye. Communications, I didn't see anything. We didn't have in the record that the respondent communicated with the complainant after that dental, but it would have been nice to have that in the record, but I didn't see any major issues with communication. He did, on the recheck, indicate some options or some possibilities: a tooth root abscess, a tooth root left in, infection, neoplasia, which is the tumor aspect of this. A culture at that time might have been a good idea, but probably not standard of care, continuing antibiotic therapy. The social media aspect of this, this is a respondent defending himself. I don't think there was an intentional posting of records maliciously. This was a respondent defending himself. The ER doctor saw no reason to question the respondent's competence. And looking at that visit after the dental by Dr. Sussnauer, and Sammy was basically doing okay then in terms of his general exam. He had concern for Cushing's and was going to pursue a Cushing's route. So I don't see a misdiagnosis. I don't see a problem in how this case unfolded. So I have one minor concern, and that's for Sammy had a recheck after the dental, and it was a, quote, nurse visit, and vaccines were given. And it's my understanding that if a pet receives any kind of treatment at all, they should have an exam by a veterinarian, and there was not one done. So I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation and issue a letter of concern for the nurse visit.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss and issue a letter of concern, and I support that as well. I do just want to make a comment for the record regarding this idea that because Dr. Casuccio is on the IC that, you know, he's untouchable and that we would not file a violation. And I just want to, you know, make that very clear that that's, you know, that is,
yeah. I have the lead on this case and I didn't even know that.
Right. I didn't see it actually written anywhere, but I just want to be really clear that whether you are in this, you know, on this board or in the IC, that doesn't, you know, if you, you know, doesn't excuse you for any, you know, potential violations. And so, I just wanted to make sure that that was on the record. So,
Madam Chair, Dr. Nasla, can I ask what the date of that visit was, the technician visit with the vaccines?
It was after the dental.
Was it 5:31?
I think it was, the dental was on 5:23. I think it was 5:31. 5:31.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I think that a couple of the concerns that were outlined, I know Dr. Nasla, you talked about them on the medical component of if it was a tumor, if there was intracranial disease and those types of things, and in the medical record from the veterinarian at AMSC, there was a long list of rule outs, which the rule outs mean this is what the doctor may suspect, but unless the testing goes further, you can't rule out anything. And so a lot of times diagnostic testing or even treatments are ruling things out. So if you roll back for Sammy's original care with that eye swelling, I just want to clarify, as far as like doing dental cleaning and regular dental care is definitely not an upsell in the profession. Dental disease kills a lot of patients because of organ failure and things like that due to infection in the bloodstream. So especially with the swollen eye, a lot of veterinarians want to rule out that it's not an abscess of the tooth. It doesn't mean those things can't return. It doesn't mean that there was no swelling before and then something abscesses very shortly after, unfortunately. And I'm sure a lot of veterinarians have seen that. As a technician, I've seen that. But doing vaccines and doing blood work, all those things are really good medicine and really good standards of care. But as a pet owner, definitely making sure to understand that those are your decisions ultimately in the care that you do provide. And it sounds like Sammy was afforded a very great medical care by his person. And I think that's important to acknowledge too, because it's really awful to not have answers. And mourning the loss of Sammy, but also knowing that veterinarians don't get to have answers all the time. And even with a necropsy, may not have had answers, you know, for Sammy too, which is something that's really, I'm sure, difficult. So just to kind of put that out there, that I can understand there's a lot of questions with that. And medically, it's not a straight line. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there's no further discussion. All those in favor of dismissing this case and issuing a letter of concern, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to call Ms. McMichael. Tracy, should we go ahead and call Sarah McMichael?
Sure.
Because it is 1:30. Okay, so we are going to now move down to section number 4, administrative review of previous actions. We are going to go to item number 3, 2378, in regards to Sarah McMichael, CBT, quarterly appearance as required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on other information presented.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. This is Tracy at the Veterinary Board.
Hi.
The board is ready to review your agenda item.
Okay.
All right, so you are on speakerphone, and I'll turn you over to our chair.
Okay.
Hi, Ms. McMichael, this is Jessica Krager. How are you doing?
Hi there. I'm doing okay.
Good. Well, do you want to kind of give us an update on you know, what's been happening and where you're working these days and anything else that you want to share?
Yeah, I've had a recent situation, unfortunately, with a stalker from my IOP program. And so the situation got a little bit out of control and he was harassing me at work. So after I spoke with a judge and my probation officer, I decided that it was best for me to resign from the Goodwill.
Okay, got it.
I'm still working at Spencer's and I've continued to attend meetings and I'm in individual counseling and I'm in a program called Affect Therapeutics.
Okay. And so how often are you going to the counseling then?
I do my individual counseling about once every 2 weeks now.
Okay.
And then I do my other individual counseling through Affect Therapeutics every Monday, so once a week.
Okay.
And then I do group counseling twice a week.
Okay, got it. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that situation, but thank you for sharing. I hope you're feeling safe there. Mark, any update as far as getting the records from the lab on Ms. McMichael?
No, I did reach out. I have not heard back from them. What I'd like to do is to continue to obtain these informally.
Okay.
And perhaps bring it back to the board in December.
Okay.
Or whenever the appropriate time is. And then if I'm not successful, then I'll just let you know and then we can just review our options at that point.
Okay. That sounds good.
Thank you.
Very frustrating, but again, this is, you know, not within Ms. McMichael's control and we appreciate that you're keeping us apprised of things on your end. Looks like Victoria has something she would like to add.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I just wanted to share that Ms. Michael and I had an email exchange yesterday where we understood that she misunderstood that her probation officer was to submit quarterly reports.
Okay.
The last report that you have from the probation officer is from February. One was due by early October and nothing was received.
Okay.
And she can tell you that, but that's my understanding, is that Ms. Michael misunderstood that another one was required.
Okay.
That's why you don't have anything else.
Got it. Okay, so
No,
you go ahead.
I did just speak with my probation officer, Carla, and I did let her know that those reports are quarterly. I sent her an email and a voicemail letting her know that we need another current one. So the next time I speak with her, I'll make sure that she either emails it to you or myself to make sure that we have that report in.
Okay. That sounds good. And then as far as, you said you're working at Spencer still, any interest, thoughts on getting back into the vet world or?
Yeah, I did apply for the veterinary emergency group. I haven't heard back yet, and I do believe it is because of my background. And so I'm going to continue my education online, and then I'm also going to just inquire about other facilities that might be able to hire me, even just as like a receptionist in some way, so that I don't have to necessarily work as a technician if they don't want me to.
Okay.
But I'm definitely still trying to get back into the field. It's just taking me some time. I'm a little nervous about everything because I've been out for a while.
Right. Okay. Well, again, I hope you're doing well. Always appreciate your transparency with the board. I know we've kind of hit some snafus, but they're, you know, not entirely your fault. And so I think we're, I don't know if any of the other board members have any other questions or comments for Ms. McMichael. Okay. All right, well, thank you for joining us by phone today, and we'll check in with you next time.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
All right, so let's see. We are going to go still in Section 4, Administrative Review of Previous Actions. We are now going to do item number, let's see, actually. Let's go ahead and take number one first, 2380 in regards to Dawn Hunsberger, VMD, monthly appearance required by interim consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information presented and may amend the ICA. Please note that Dr. Gosley is recused on this item. And hello, Dr. Hunsberger.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead on this one.
Yes. Hello. I hope you had a good vacation. I know I wasn't here the last week. So. And it looks as though you have continued to do your testing.
Mm-hmm.
And you did miss one, but you had already notified us that you were going to be gone, so that didn't count against you in that.
And I did get it done the day I got back.
Perfect. It looks like we have been negative. How are you doing overall?
Good.
Good?
Yep.
And you're going to your meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You see if you have updates from your counselor as well. So it looks as though you are following the procedures that we have put in place.
Dr. Thompson, I wanted to jump in real quick, because I know at the last meeting you had discussed maybe wanting to do blood sample collecting instead, mm-hmm. just to try and eliminate some of these errors we were having.
Yes.
But it looks like we were still doing urine tests, so I was just curious.
In the meantime, sticking with what we have. So I contacted LabCorp. And it took me twice to get a hold of anybody. And they said I had to talk to my physician who's ordering the tests. I said, I don't have a physician ordering the tests. I need the information. They said I have to talk to the physician. So I'm kind of in between getting the answers,
okay.
the questions I had answered. So I'm still back. I just sent one yesterday. They told me to go to the website and there's nothing on the website that's answering my questions.
Right.
So
can I just get a live person anymore? Yeah.
Yes. Is there a person I can talk to? So I'm waiting to hear back if there's a person. My next step is maybe try Sonora Quest, but there is not a lab in Cottonwood or Camp Verde, so that would have to be tested in Prescott Valley, which is more out of the way than Cottonwood.
Okay.
So for the meantime, I'm just going to stick with the urine testing, and I know there's going to be some occasional false positives because of my hand, and I'm trying to avoid using anything topical because it all either contains menthol or some form of alcohol.
Okay.
But some nights it just throbs and Advil doesn't cut it.
Okay.
So I'm aware that is a possibility, because that's what probably caused the September positive test was Voltaren,
yes. Okay. Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yes. Since you weren't here last month,
yes,
so.
Yes. Getting me anxious now.
Yeah.
I know one of the items to talk about was, we've been in this now for 6 months, if I can do math correctly, right? Started in April.
March was my first visit.
Okay.
April was the agreement.
Yes. And so then there was discussion, there's possibility of reducing the frequency of the testing. And so I would actually ask for discussion with fellow board members on their thoughts on that, since this is my first time leading a case in this manner, what their thoughts are. Because for me, it looks as though we've been doing everything that we need to be doing and following the rules. Yes, we've had some questions as far as some of the test results, but those confirmation tests have come back as negative. So, is that something that we would look at reducing to once a month, or what is the normal step down process?
It looks like Victoria wants to jump in real quick.
I'm not sure what the language of the consent agreement says.
Does
anybody else know?
Can reduce testing if. For 6 months.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. And
that's
so
in the consent agreement?
Yeah. Yes. So that's why I don't know. It doesn't say what we would reduce to, just so that we could reduce. So I was thinking that going from twice a month to once a month would be a, in my mind, a logical step down, but again, open for conversation.
There was also, and I can't find it, it's on the main page, the counselor from 11/14, so just yesterday, had mentioned just testing for alcohol and not any other substances because that had been the issue. So I don't know if the step down becomes less testing or if it becomes less broad testing. Does that make sense?
Right, yes, I see where that question, I mean, the broad testing I think was maybe because that's what was available because we didn't have concerns on the other substances, the concerns were the alcohol. And maybe this is where the blood versus the urine testing comes into play. Were the urine tests for everything?
Only if you ask for it.
Oh, okay.
When I set it up, I was with Victoria back and forth. The consent does say drug and alcohol testing.
Okay.
From last time, we had questioned whether I could look into blood, and it says that the designation of the board, blood, urine, saliva, hair, nails. And then the second paragraph says I had to set up a urine testing program within 2 weeks of the agreement. So it is in there in both forms.
Yeah. And so, I mean, when I look at the reason why we're here is because of the alcohol, I'm not necessarily, don't feel like we have to continue with the other substances. So I, in my opinion, would be okay with removing that from the testing protocol, but also considering reducing to once a month testing just for the alcohol.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming because this came from the healthcare provider, just testing, the piece on just testing for alcohol, like, is there any concern that if you can't have alcohol, you use another substance to get that same effect, right? So, like, would we be potentially encouraging bad behavior by not testing for something else? I don't want to do that either. I want to make sure that she stays totally on the straight and narrow. So that would be my only concern, but it did come from Spectrum Healthcare, so that to consider it. So I just bring it up as it's certainly not my area of expertise, but.
And after our meeting last time when we talked about it, the email I sent her was at her agreement, approval, whatever. I totally left it up to her as to whether or not she thought that was appropriate. From my point, I've never done drugs. I have no interest in drugs. To the point, I've never even smoked marijuana. It sounds horrible in today's day and age, but
I haven't though.
Yeah, so I guess I would make a motion to continue, look at cutting the testing back to once a month and then reducing it to alcohol only testing.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay.
I was just thinking that assumes that everything continues to go well and is in compliance.
Correct.
It could go revert back. We could increase the frequency at some point. Mm-hmm. Just want to be clear about that.
Yes, I think at any point there are violations of the written agreement, then we have the ability to go back. Plus, I mean, at that point, if there's a violation, right, then the probation comes off of state. Like,
right.
So there's
yeah,
ramifications.
It's no longer a suspension. Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Okay. Well, we're good. So thank you.